Praise the Lord. Well, got down here.
Yeah,
I'm so glad you gave me directions this time. I always think I can remember it until I'm getting down. Oh, which way do I need to go? Do I take 35E south or 35 south? So I didn't get lost this time. So that was a real blessing. Amen. But, you know, as I was pulling into town or just pulling in up here, I just heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me about there are people that are heading to hell. You look at all the churches around here, guys, and there are still people that are lost and dying and going to hell, and they need to hear. I just got on just a little bit what Pastor Josh was saying, but it's so true. They need to hear that Jesus loves them, and that Jesus paid a price for them, paid the penalty. Amen? We're called to, as the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, that we're to be witnesses, strong witnesses for Jesus. Now, you can be in a church that has a strong evangelical, you guys are really powerful street evangelists also, but sometimes you can develop a deaf ear if you hear that message over and over and over. And I'm just going to ask God to circumcise your heart, circumcise your ears right now, so that every time Pastor Josh shares his heart with you, that you will be touched and stirred to go win the lost. Amen? And I don't care who you are, if I hear from the same voice over and over, I don't care how anointed it is, okay? You can tend to get a little deaf, okay? And we have to fight that. Amen? We have to continuously allow the Lord to put His heart in your heart. And I know that my first message when Lord was just calling me into the ministry and was that there's many lost and dying and going to hell. That was my base message. You know, I began it with that and I ended it with that. And it was so true. God was really stirring something in my heart at that time. But then He took me on a journey of being mature, being stable, being strong, being full of the Word of God, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, little here, little there, and to get me solid, amen? And then to turn me loose again. And there was a word, or I've gone back to, went to Bible school once, I'm back again in Bible school. I just wanted to make sure I was full of the Word of God. So I'm taking courses, and I probably haven't told that to anyone. It's just coming out now. But I wanted to make sure that there was no loose ends, that my foundation was solid and set. But there was a message, and thank God, he's very strong in the Word, but he's very evangelistic too. And I would always, when the Lord was talking to the churches, and he says, you've lost your first love. And I always would take that as, we're always into works, do for the God. But the truth was in that is that my first love is that I couldn't wait to share the gospel. I couldn't wait to tell people what Jesus did in my life. I couldn't wait, to read the Bible. You know, a lot of times what I did, I would think that it would be to get into His presence, which is very important to be in His presence, okay? That's the most important, if anybody knows me, that's where I love to stay. But we need to get back to the first love. And it's Jesus' first love, because He gave Himself to a lost and dying world, and that is Jesus' first love, is humankind, I guess, right? And we have to come to a place to where we develop a passion, not just for Jesus, but for those that He died for. Amen? And that we go to work, we're looking, we're crying out, God, give us a window of opportunity. God, give us a platform. God, give us an ear that will listen to us. Amen. And as you know, and when the Lord says that, you know, if you don't, I will remove that which you have. And you know, when the Lord's dealing with that, I mean, He's pretty serious when He's talking about removing what you have, removing that lampstand, removing the anointing of God that's upon your life. Each and every one of you have a precious anointing from God. Amen? How many of us really understand that anointing? See, we're all anointed to preach the gospel. It may not be as in a fivefold ministry, but you are all anointed to preach the gospel. Amen. That is your call. I'm looking for my... I just told you. Preach the gospel. Be in season and out of season. Amen? And really what that is being so full of God that when someone is hungry, it just spills out. I mean, it's just like what I'm seeing right now, I'm just seeing this shower. And it has water up in there, and all of a sudden someone just tugs on it, and it just spills all over them. We need to be so full of God that when we get into that place where someone's hungry for God, that it just takes a little tweak. And I mean, you're just, the anointing falls on you, and you're preaching the gospel. Amen? It is your responsibility, and you will be judged. I'm not talking, but you will be judged for what you do, for the people and opportunities that you had that you did not take advantage of. The Lord says to redeem the time. The time is short, and I'm telling you, the time is shorter than it's ever been. We're closer to Jesus coming today than it was yesterday, but it is coming. Jesus is coming back. Amen? God does not withhold or give the anointing upon you in measure. You're the only one that will shut that down. You can have as much of God as you want. Amen. Isn't that a good thing? You can have as much of Him as you want. Limitless. I mean, I don't care how hungry you are, He'll meet it above and beyond. Amen? You know, a lot of times... And it's good, because I read books on prayer, I read books on evangelism. There's times I'll read your book. Okay? That's the book that brought me here. Okay, I read that book, somebody gave it, I said, I gotta meet these guys. Okay? I gotta meet them. So, anyway, I prayed, and somehow I stumbled in on a service, Pastor Josh wasn't here, and Marine's, you know, bringing some, I don't know, it was just certain things are going on, and she just said, "Hey, I think you're supposed to pray for this person." I said, okay, you know. But anyway, that's how we became introduced. But we're all called and anointed to do that. You know, it's getting back. It's good to read. It's good to study. But let's write history. Let's write our story. Oh, yeah. Let us. You know, we all have a book, right? What are you going to put in it? That this person was just lazy, love God but love themselves too, or do you want a book written about you? That this was a man of God, this is a man of prayer, this is a man that would dare to reach out, dare to speak the truth. What type of person are you going to be? You can be whoever you want to be. Amen. It's limitless. You can have above and beyond what you can even think if you have the faith for it. There is no limit. Satan puts limits on you. The world puts limits on you. The people around you will put limits on you, or try to, but don't let them. Don't let anyone limit you. Don't let anybody diminish you to their level. Amen? Isn't it, you know, and I was just meditating upon, Lord, you know, when Moses wanted to see the glory of God, and God said, you know, yes, I'll show you, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, but you can't see my face. And I said, Lord, what in the world was with that? You know, what's the difference? If someone said, He says, if they would have seen my face, they would have made an image of me. They would have reduced me down to an image. You know, maybe you preached, I don't know, but this is a revelation to me. That He said, people would make an image out of me and reduce me to all other gods instead of the living God. Amen? And so he protected, he blessed Moses by not allowing him to see his face. Amen? And so, but we have to understand what our purpose is. We, you know, and that's that diminishing. I'm getting back to that, allowing people to put limits on you. I'm not talking about it being in order and all these things, because it's a godly thing to be in order. But I'm talking about limits of dreaming, of leading people to the Lord, dreaming of seeing people get healed. Seeing there, you know what? If there are so many people that are mentally ill out there that you could practice laying hands on. I'm not trying to be, but this society is crazy. I'm not trying to be, but 3/4 of the church is. I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but this is where we're at. We have mental illness all over the place. Why not start there? Why not go wherever, be known as a person wherever you go, you leave people in their right mind. Right? That's a need, right? And some of you, if you're struggling, lay hands on yourself. Start with yourself. I'm not trying, but come on, let's be really honest. All of us have certain things, okay, going on in our brain from time to time. You know, that need to be straightened out. You know, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Was it just the physically sick? No, it was emotionally sick too. It was, you know, because if you're emotionally sick, you can be physically sick too. In the name of Jesus, I command you to be healed. See, you just saw it. Amen. There's times where there's been such warfare going on in my brain that I had to lay hands on myself. There was times I was so confused that I couldn't even pick up the phone and call someone or even figure out who I was going to call. I couldn't make my mind up. Well, right? I don't know if anybody's been there, but there's just sometimes when Satan comes on all-out attack on you, you got to know. You got him right there. Heal yourself. Amen? God will honor you, right? If you honor you, pray, laying hands on someone, one prayer, why not you? There's times. We have to be living epistles. It's gotten to that point that the world is crying out, groaning for you to rise up and take your rightful place as sons and daughters, as priests and kings. Rise up. Jesus came down to our level so he could bring us up to his.
That's right.
Amen. Amen? Amen? That was his whole purpose, is to bring us up to the God kind of person that we are. Our true identity is in Christ. Is there anything too hard for God? No. Well, if you're attached to God, how can there be anything too hard for you? Right? If you're attached to him, if you're seated with him at the right hand of God, where, you know, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and you're seated next to him, where are you seated? At the right hand of God. You have God's hand at your disposal, and you activate his hand with your mouth. They cried out in Acts 4, Lord, stretch out your hand. Do heal people. Do signs and wonders, miracles. Lord, do it. He will honor you too. He honored Moses, but we have a better covenant than Moses. Amen? We have a perfect tent of meeting. Here, you know what I mean? We don't have to go and step. We just have to step in. The ark goes with us wherever we go.
Hallelujah.
Amen? It's there. It's as simple as breathing in and breathing out. Releasing. You release. Boom. It's done. That's how you release the anointing. Breathe in. And if you have bad breath, breathe out. Let them be knocked over by the power of God, not your breath.
Amen.
You know? Don't blow in their face. Blow whoo, down there. And man, if you're worried about that, you know, you should probably be. I think the person would probably like you more. But have you ever been in prayer lines? You kind of, you always tend, you know, if someone really has bad breath, you always kind of tend to move on over here. Do you like someone with bad breath breathing on you? Let's be honest. No, I mean, if you do, I mean, I don't know. I wonder a little bit. What I'm saying, always carry mints, okay, or whatever, you know, but. Ha, ha, ha. Well, I don't know if that's appropriate. If someone has bad breath, they can't help it. Bianca? Or what is that?
Bianca.
Bianca. Bianca. Bianca. She's close enough. The two squirts won't do, do a third. But get out and pray for people. Get out and lay hands on people. You're just preaching to the choir. Good. You need it. You know, we all need to be stirred. Different, maybe a little different voice. You know, good. I think I come have him come up to give my people a different voice. They listen to him. Yeah. I preach the same thing that he does, and all of a sudden he comes up. Oh, we got such a revelation for Pastor. Praise God. Amen. That's just the way it works. One plants, the other one waters, and God gives the increase. And usually the one that comes in waters gets the increase, okay? And, amen? But who cares? Who gets it? You know, as long as God gets the glory, as long as people change, right? I mean, you can be counseling someone in there, a friend or whatever, and be saying the same thing over and over to them, and they go and listen to someone else, and it's like, yeah, I've been telling you that for the last 6 months. God, let us hear better. Let us hear clearer. Let us not be ignorant. You know, you don't have to be ignorant. Amen? I think sometimes remaining ignorant is an excuse to do some stupid things. It's just like, you know, there's people that will get away from someone that will tell them the truth. And as long as, you know, it's just like with the Jeremiah thing. Jeremiah, you know, he said, his own relatives said, you know, if you don't shut up, we're going to throw you in the pit. They didn't want to hear the truth. Do you want to hear the truth? You know what I'm saying? The truth. See, the truth doesn't come in a pleasurable manner most of the time. A lot of times, truth cuts, and it hits, and truth offends a lot of times. Amen? A lot of times I get truth. It's like, no. And then as I go to the Lord, He starts going, oh boy. And I come back very repentant. Like, oh God, I can't believe I didn't see that. I had a lady come up. She was talking about she'd been in some heavy-duty witchcraft. I mean, heavy, heavy-duty. And one of her friends that was in it with her has wanted to Facebooker, and I told her, I said, you know, you need to really be careful. Not every person that comes your way is sent by God. Amen. And And she's looking at me like, no, I'm not worried about that. I'm going, you need to be worried about that. But it's like people get offended when the pastor, see, the pastor has an anointing to see out ahead. Now, you may not see it. You may not see it. You know, sometimes I'll perch by someone and I think, what are you talking to me for? But sometimes you may not see it. But he does.
That's right.
Do the sheep see the wolf coming? If they did, they wouldn't need a shepherd. You better listen. They're set there to watch over you. Not the Lord over you, but to watch over you, to protect you, to say you better watch out here.
Yeah.
Maybe you might want to try this. It's there to keep you humble, too. It keeps you there from being independent. People need to listen. You gotta. You don't gotta, but you gotta. In order to thrive and survive and thrive. You need to be listening. See, God sets you in a certain place for a reason. A lot of times that place has something you don't have and that needs to be established in you. And a lot of times that in that establishing something in you, there will be offenses. There will come attitudes. You know, when it comes an attitude, guys, okay, can I just give you a little hint here? When you get wound up in attitude and you start feeling like, don't tell me what to do or who do you think you are to meddle in my life, you better get on your face and repent because that's rebellion. That is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit, okay? It is not the working of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against these, there's no law. That's the working, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if attitudes are coming up that don't carry that, ding, ding, ding. You don't have to be very discerning if you just read what the fruit of the Spirit is. And then the works of the flesh. You start reading those. And you can do a lot of discerning in your life, in your attitudes. Amen? We all have attitudes. I have attitudes, okay? I've really tried to get rid of them. And when they show up, it ticks me off. And I want them dead, okay? Because I know they're going to get in my way. God has sent police officers to pull me over and just be jerks to me. See, in the old days, anyway, it doesn't matter. And they get their face right in your face. You're like, don't you know that I'm a pastor and that I'm out helping people and you should be resting drunks instead of messing with me? Well, I needed to be messed with, didn't I? See that attitude? Even though it was right, he probably should be resting, you know, pulling over someone that's really drunk, sitting out by the bar, at least a block away. But my attitude wasn't respectful, wasn't loving, so I had a problem, right? And authority will reveal problems in your attitudes. Amen? So pray that your pastor walks in all the authority that he needs to walk in to mess with your attitudes.
That's right.
Sorry, Pastor. But it's needed in order to get you to a place. Amen? Of yieldedness. See, if you can't yield to someone that you see, right? If you can't yield to someone that you see, how can you yield to God? It's written in Scripture. How can you yield to God? You're only deceiving yourself. So God has blessed you with someone that has authority in your life. Amen? And it's someone that you have to voluntarily give him honor. See, when I was in the business, it was really easy. I mean, to lead. I just do paper traces on you. Mess with me? I just wrote you, you know, real nicely. All of a sudden, you continue to do it your way. we had a couple talks. And then the last talk was this, I released you. But I had a leverage. You weren't going to get money. You weren't going to get a paycheck.
Amen. Yeah.
Here, you don't have that type of leverage. So much easier before. But you have to voluntarily submit yourself. That is your duty. Right? When I learned that, it was like I grew in leaps, years. And every month it was like I grew a year. Every month I grew a year. But see, I didn't trust people. And really, I had a great dad. So if you didn't measure up to what my dad was, I was going to listen to you. You know? And the Lord said, that's wrong. Yeah. So that person has authority. Don't tell me what to do. Anybody have that record playing? Don't tell me what to do. I don't like when people tell me what to do. Okay. Just a hint, it needs to go. Okay? When that rolls in me, it needs to go. Whoever it rolls in, it needs to go. Right? Because when you kick against authority, you're kicking against the Lord. This is truth. See, this is a truth that will grind you. Why would God tell him those things about my life when it should be my decision to make? Be careful. Be careful. Because if it's truly God, there'll be peace. If he says, no, wait, you'll be fine with it.
That's right. Amen.
No, wait is probably the most anointed word that you can hear. No.
No.
Wait. I want to look at you a little bit more. I don't mean to get on this stuff when I get down here, but you know what? You know, sometimes we need to hear it. It's there to bless you. Amen? See that which you respect, you will attract. You respect authority in your life, you will attract blessings.
That's right, amen.
Because that boss or pastor has a way of being able to release blessings upon you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, amen. Thank God for that. As he releases blessings, there's authority as he releases those blessings too upon your life. Amen? Do we think, oh God, I just thank you, Lord. I got a strong authority. Pastor carries his authority seriously. I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you, Lord, that he's not a pushover. Lord, help him stand strong in the face of the congregation. So you got to understand how hard it is because you got a pastoral gift which wants to help and wants to love. And yet there's also an authority you have to carry out. A pastor wants to be liked. Is that okay? I mean, but he knows that when he says some things, he's not going to be liked.
There you go. Come on.
For a while. You know? But let it have its way in your life. Amen? Let authority have its way in your life. Because you cannot walk in authority unless you're under authority. So you got to understand when, you know, we think that Jesus was just doing a righteous thing when he came and was baptized, but no. John the Baptist laid hands on him and released a blessing so he could go in. John the Baptist had to release a blessing over Jesus to be able to step into his ministry. So if Jesus needed it, how much more do you? Amen? And any pastor worth his weight in gold or worth his weight of anything will not release you or release a blessing upon you unless you're ready for it. That is His job to make sure you are ready for what you're going to undertake. Now, your vision may be right, but the timing may be wrong. Why would you want to be an Ishmael? Right? Why would you, you know, come on. It doesn't make sense. Unless God buildeth the house, unless God is behind it, you labor in vain. And if it's really God, you don't have to worry about it. He'll bring it to pass. He will open up doors that no man can shut it. You know, you cannot be stopped when it's God's rightful timing in your life. Amen? You cannot. No man can hold you down. No woman can hold you down. No one can hold you down when it's God's timing. So let it have its perfect work. Amen. It's talking about trials. And sometimes when a pastor gets in your face about something, it is a trial. And it is a temptation. And there's fire in it. Oh, I want to go. I hear this other pastor so much more anointed. You know, and that may happen all over. Not you, I'm just my church. I hear this other pastor so much more anointed than Pastor Corey. Okay. I'm not, you know, but this is how it is. When we get offended, we quit receiving the anointing that's upon that man of God's life. So you got to fight to keep your heart open so you can receive that. Anointing. There's anointing upon your pastor that is there to rise you up to levels, to fight demonic forces that you can't do yourself. Amen? It's teaming up with you. Synergy. It's teaming up. It's going to team up. You're not enough by yourself. You need each other. You need your pastor's anointing to do what you're going to do. You got to have it. That's the way God made it.
Amen.
There are no loose cannons in the true church. Right? I remember it always stuck with me is when you, I think what you preached on where we won't break ranks. Where is that? Joel chapter, see? And where we won't break ranks no matter what. We will march, we will operate as a team. We will not be on our own. We will not have an attitude. We'll be a one mind, one spirit, and a one heart. And we will go and take the ground that which God is telling us to take. Amen?
Yeah.
But in order to get there, some attitudes have to die. Amen? They just do. How can two walk together unless you're in agreement? Amen? Well, praise God. You know, that was one of the greatest things I ever learned, was what I'm preaching to you. That was one of the first things I learned God put in me. You know, that was the first sermon I ever preached. And I didn't know that it probably wasn't a real enjoyable one. I got my church and I just let it rip. It was a real rebellious church on top of it. But it was known for bloodbaths, for killing pastors. He just had to use someone that didn't know any better, you know? Anybody that had been around that church would never preach that, you know? But they needed it. And we need it. Amen? See, you got to understand that there are seducing spirits out there that are seducing you. They're massaging your insecurities. If you're secure, nobody can mess with you. But it's in your insecurities is where you're weak. It's like your husband isn't treating you too good. Isn't talking. Who's Satan going to send? Someone that's going to smooth you over with words. Maybe your wife isn't treating you right. Who's he going to send to you? some, oh, Pastor, you're the very best. And you are so anointed. And right, this happens. And they think, oh, you know, Pastor, I can tell you things that I can tell no one else. Don't tell me. Because I know what's coming. Do I got to spell it out, maybe? No, I'm not going to, okay? But when someone starts telling you that, it's of the opposite sex, and you're vulnerable, you better say, no, I don't need to know that information. But I will pray for you. And move on. Move on. Run. As fast as you can. I'm the gingerbread man. You know, just run as fast as you can. I'm telling you, you better run. The Bible says to run. The Bible says to flee. If Joseph didn't flee, he would have lost his destiny. And I'm telling you, Satan will send a guy or a girl to steal your destiny. A guy or a girl with a seducing spirit. You're just sucked in. There's just something there. Yes, I believe in chemistry, but there better be more than that. You know? Amen? Nowadays, I'd you know, with all the technology, I would type it in and I would look up. And I'd see if that man or woman had a record. I'd see if that man or woman was truthful with me. As a matter of fact, I would demand to know those things. Amen? Don't you have a right for truth? Ask to see his checkbook. Ask to see your checkbook. Do a credit history. You'll find out, I'm serious, you'll find out a lot. You got to know what you're getting into. Otherwise, you'll be resentful for the rest of your life because he showed me a different side. He deceived me. He didn't show me that other side. I'm talking to someone here. But you don't have to make the same mistake. Or you people that are about ready to get into a relationship. I'm not mad. Get in a relationship. Just pastor, I can't help it. Anyway, love you. Why are you yelling? I don't know. Anyway, I really mean it. But get in. Find out. Investigate.
Well, I just trust him. I choose to believe the best.
Grow up. Grow up. You're making, besides accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're making the most important decision of your life. You're going into covenant with someone. Oh, yeah. What is yours is theirs, and what is theirs is yours, and you might not want what they got.
Yeah. Amen.
This is how it works.
Come on now.
Amen? God knows. But sometimes you get so hooked up. It's called a soul tie. You're so tied to that person. You could have warning after warning after warning after warning after warning after warning, and you would still get into it just because you're tied.
Yeah, come on.
I just can't bear to let him go. What if someone else doesn't come on? Well, God's enough. He's better. I mean, you know, wait for the right one. I'm telling you, you get with the wrong, I've counseled so much. You get with the wrong one. You think you're lonely now. It's a lot more lonely when you gotta sleep on way on the other side of the bed. And a lot of times you don't even want to go and sleep in the same bed with them because they're such jerks. So you're out on the couch anyway. Well, right? I'm speaking truth here.
You are.
It's sad but true. But we don't have to be deceived. We don't have to be ignorant. Right? Don't settle. Don't settle for second best. Don't. Amen? I'm just, this is just this instance has come. You don't know these people, so I can. There's this one girl. She came up. She had some type of sexual disease. We prayed for her. She got healed. You know, really started doing well. Well, she started getting lonely. And so she went and slept with this guy. Well, knowingly, she knew that he had a disease, and she still slept with him. How? You know, this is how we can. We say, oh, we'd never do that. But you know what? We can do some crazy things when our emotions get involved. Well, I just love him. I just love her. And she needs, and you got to be careful. She needs someone to take care of her. Don't you get it out of your mind. Okay, I don't know, you know, just don't ever go down that road again. You got a good heart. But that isn't the lot God has for you for a woman. God has a partner and a wife for you, not for you to be a caretaker. I just destroy that thought, okay, that just gonna, they really need me. Amen? Sometimes you're codependent, honey. Sometimes your codependent side will cause you to make some mistakes, allow some people in that have no business being in. I speak from experience because you would never guess it, but I do have a real mercy gift. I really do. I used to wrestle. I mean, I even raised my voice, wrestle all the way home. Jeez, I just beat up on Pastor Johnson's people. Oh, just, jeez. You know, I blame him if they never had me back. You know, I got to call up and apologize to him, you know. But I trust God now. But, you know, I do have a mercy gift. And I have allowed certain people into my life that have really nailed me. You got to be careful. You got to be wise. You got to ask the Holy Spirit to define each person that comes into your life. Define right now. What is my purpose in that person's life? Immediately. And He'll tell you before you get emotionally involved. You need to ask before that crap starts happening. Before they give you the old song and dance and that old story. And you want to come in and you want to rescue them. Just want to rescue them, make their life better. I mean, I'm mocking that a little bit, but really I'm mocking the emotion of that, the deception of that. Amen? It's like, and I love animals, and Pastor Dress knows that. But it's just like you see these gals, and they bring, you know, they're sharp gals, and they go and they bring home, call them old snaggly tooth. You know, somebody that just, you know, their just heart just goes out for them. And they just want to bring them in and pamper them and take care of them, and you got to get over that. Amen? Right? You got to get over that. I just see that, you know, there's just such a softness in you with that, you know, just a nurture. I see, you just take a plant, you just clip it and talk to it, but God does have a ministry for you there, but your husband is not to be your ministry. Are you married? Okay. Your husband is not to be a ministry for you. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but they're just, okay. I just see that. You know, you got a real good heart. I'm just, but, you know, sometimes that gets in the way. Amen. You know, and I see this. I mean, this is you got quite a few people here. Praise God. That's great. It's growing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they're hungry people. Amen. How you doing?
Good.
Huh? Doing good?
Good. Thank you.
Well, where's my water?
Huh?
Oh, is that? Okay. Well, you couldn't find any. Okay. You weren't thinking about it. No, I'm just teasing. No, I'm just giving a hard time. No, I'm just, this works. Okay, no. Yeah. I'm very healthy. Okay, good. I pled the blood as I was drinking. No, I'm just teasing. They shall drink anything deadly, it shall not harm them, right? Yeah. No. No, that's good. That's good. Praise the Lord. So, hallelujah. What time is it? Oh. What's am I? You know, you guys had enough of me, I bet.
No.
Huh? Round two. I haven't knocked you out yet, huh? Man, I'm losing it. Whoo, Shabba. Whoo. I'll take some of that. But how about you? Keep going, huh? I'll sit back here with you for a while. Oh, my. Oh. I never know what's going to happen. You know, everything's by faith with me. I mean, I'm just like, you know. I get rebuked once in a while because I don't open up my Bible, you know. But it's more important I open up my Bible during the week than it is on Sunday, all right? I'm just allowing the Holy Spirit to take that which is in me and give to you. Amen? You know, a lot of deception can happen, you know, preaching a sermon. Anybody can preach a sermon that can speak fairly well. Amen? Hallelujah. Whew. The gift of smile. You know, I'm not a smiley person at all. Do you guess that? Do I smile? I smile halfway sometimes, right? I'm a very intense person that doesn't smile. I'm always in deep thought. People go, you know, you're so unapproachable. But, you know, when I look at people, I'm like, okay, God, where's that person at? Do you want me to say something for that person? Can I pray for that person? What do you want me to do? I'm just in thought. And I look, you know, people say you're unapproachable, but no. I'm just with. I just want to know what God wants. Amen. 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 Smiling does not. It has to be God because I'm, you know, I got a dry personality, a dry sense of humor. You never know that, right? No, probably not. You know. Oh. Lord, refresh us, right?
Amen. Amen.
Give us some refreshing.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Give her some juice. Amen. Amen. EJ, can you do it? Good to see you. More sap, right? Let the sap flow, right? The sap of the Holy Spirit just flow, right? You're always smiling. I appreciate that. If it's pretty dead, people look at me. I just look at her and she's just smiling. I'm like, it's always great to have you because I can always preach over here for a while and just kind of be encouraged and then come back over here. And I'm just. When you know you're really hit, and you'll see the pastor just start to slink in his chair, like, "Oh God, you're gonna think that I tattled on him."
Yeah.
Amen. We're all called to read people's mail, especially out on the streets.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yes.
We really are.
Yeah.
Amen? Why should the fortune tellers get all the credit? Why shouldn't the Holy Spirit be getting the true credit? Amen? See, if the Christians were doing what they were supposed to be doing, the fortune tellers would be out of a job. Amen? I got to go call someone up, some psychic, to get a dream interpreted. Don't they know they have a bunch of Daniels?
Come on.
But the Daniels never stepped in and said, let me inquire of the Lord.
Yeah, come on.
Let me inquire of the Lord. Right? He went and asked God. Amen? You got a better covenant than Daniel, right?
Oh, yeah.
So all you got to do is inquire.
Yeah.
Ask God. What is the answer? It's so simple. Right? I appreciate someone that will say, you know, I just really would like a little bit of time to pray about that, and I'll get back to you. Then I know, oh, I'm praying, oh, God, let him hear. You know? And if I need a good spanking, give it, you know. When I meet with I got a pastor too. And when I meet with my pastor, my prayer is that, God, if there's something wrong in me, let him see it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
Yes. Right? If there's something crouching, Satan's crouching at the door, he needs to say, brother, I see the devil crouching at your door, but if you do this, I'll be well. Amen? We should be asking, praying for a pastor when we're getting ready for the services. Lord, there's something in me that needs to be touched. Let it be touched. Let your prophet speak to me tonight. So, can I tell you, sometimes, now we all can hear from God, okay? We all have the Holy Spirit, but there's sometimes where you can be messed up in the emotion part, that you can't hear God in that area. There's certain areas in my life that where I'm emotionally gifted in business, I have to be very careful. So I'll tend to da 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 instead of ask God. Right? And we all have our areas. And we need someone that will speak the truth. Amen? To save us from making a mistake. Amen? He will speak. He wants to speak. Matter of fact, Proverbs says, wisdom is crying out. It's crying out. It says, I want to give you wisdom. I want to give you wisdom. I want to give you wisdom. Isn't that part of the attribute of the Holy Spirit? Spirit of our spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. You know, right? That's for us. That's what we have locked up in us. We may not have the wisdom or the knowledge, but He does, and He will get it to us. Some way, somehow. We can't be all known, but He is. We need to be tapping into that wonderful blessing of the Holy Spirit. It's there to lead us. Of course, you've heard us over and over, but it's there to lead us into all truth. If we will let Him. There's some truth that sometimes we don't want to be let into. Amen? Because it goes against our way or our desires. You know? See, God wants to... You can be very accurate in your decisions if you'll just inquire of the Lord. You know what? If you get really good, you can be really, 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 really accurate.
Absolutely.
Right? I was looking at, I think, did I talk to you about the into? Okay. Oh, I'm always looking, I look up things in a dictionary, and all of a sudden a word will hit me. I'm like, well, what does that really mean? So I go back, I look up in a dictionary, and I was looking, and I saw a word, into. That's in the dictionary, into. It means you're really into that. Into. Look it up when you get home. Into. And the Lord started saying that there's many people in Christ, but they're not into Christ. Completely into Christ. They're half in the world and they're half in Christ, and they expect to have all the blessings. Are you into Jesus? Completely into Jesus. Completely into Jesus. To where you're willing, you got a brilliant mind. I'm pointing at you. You got a... Yeah, who me? It is good. But are you willing to lay it down to receive His mind?
Yes.
I think it's a good trade.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
But it's a decision. It says, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You know, we should be so successful, so prosperous, so healthy, so wealthy. You want to? He even knows when you're deficient in things. He knows when you need to take potassium. He knows when you need a good, strong vitamin B complex. He knows when you need some iron. But take it with Metamucil. But anyway, that's just wisdom. Iron will bind you up, okay? Mess you up if you take too much. But just avoid it, okay? But Metamucil's good. Anyway, but it will. But some of us need iron. Amen? Without proper blood, you don't have proper life. Because life is in the blood. Your oxygen, if you don't have enough blood in your body, you're not getting enough oxygen to your brain, so you don't think right. We wonder why we're in depression sometimes. Maybe we don't have enough blood flowing through us. Maybe we don't have enough oxygen getting to us. Amen? But He knows even those intricate things about you. He knows when you're drinking too much pop. He knows when you're drinking too much coffee. He knows when you're eating too many sweets. He knows when you're emotionally eating. He'll say, just need to cut that back. And you won't have to be fighting those 5 and 10 pounds. He knows. See, those are enticing things too that are there sent out to grab a hold of your emotions. And what happens is you find yourself grabbing for food of the refrigerator rather than Jesus. Rather than allowing Him to be the comforter of your life. Amen? God knows. This is, you know, He knows the number of your hair, you know. And we think that, well, God knows that, you know. But God is showing you He intimately knows you. When He says, I know how many hairs are on your head. It's He's saying, I intimately know you. I know you. I know what will make you happy. I know you think you know what will make you, but I know what will make you happy. Amen? Because how many times we find someone and it's just like, oh, I'll be happy now. And then we find out. It's just like you buy a new car. It's so cool for a while. But pretty soon the smell of that new car doesn't smell so new anymore. And his socks stink. And he, you know, whatever, you know, whatever, you know. Well, I don't smell if you well, I don't know. None of my business, but anyway, the new smell doesn't smell so good no more. Some of you arguing about smelly socks? In here? No. Anyway. Boy, I've been wanting to tell my husband that for about 15 years and his feet stink! And he did it, thank God for that pastor. Being obedient. No. But you think you know that that's going to make you happy, but you really don't know. You can be happy with that vehicle when it hits 300,000 miles. Clunk, clunk, right, right. It's starting to clunk. It didn't go as long as it said it was supposed to, right? The warranty didn't cover this and that. You sell cars, right? Oh,
used.
Okay. Anyway, you know how that goes, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, didn't I tell you that? That's not included in the warranty. Yeah. And the guy goes, well, honey, I'm sure I told you that I snore really bad, you know? I'm sure I told you that while we were dating. Why am I always talking about relationships down here, guys? I don't know.
It's all right.
You know?
Good. He knows.
Do what you gotta do. Saves me the trouble, right? Praise God. And sometimes the old pastor say, "Yeah, I've been telling him that for 6 months. I wish maybe you'll listen to him." You know, just people are people, guys. Okay, I mean, I'm not picking on you. People are humans. Are just humans. You know, they just are. You know. I used to try to figure them out. It's so cool. Okay. I do a lot of praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Where I don't know how to pray. No God. Amen. You know, you guys, there's some relationships, I imagine. I was preaching at this one house church, and I remember this husband and wife, and they came up for prayer after, and I guess I was speaking about their relationship, and and she was just mad. You know, you could just tell, "Are you okay?" And she's just mad because things got pointed out in her life. And you know, we need to come to a place to where we can receive correction. And it's okay if your partner was right all the time and it's just being confirmed. Just say, "Bless God, it must have been God." That's, you know how we try to get defensive, and see, when you get defensive, what happens when you get defensive? You lose the truth. A wall goes up. When you're defendant, the wall goes up and you've lost the truth. The devil has stolen the truth from you. Don't let him, okay? Don't let him. Swallow the pride. Amen? Just let it go. None of us are perfect. We all have weaknesses, right? Amen? Everyone. Something gets pointed out, just say, "I'm busted." You know, right? I plead guilty. Lord, change me. All right? You'd be amazed the respect that you will get from your mate when they see you, "Uncle, honey, you were right." Male or female, "Honey, you were right." Man, it's not easy for me to do that either when my wife is right once in a while. Well, man, I'm zealous to allow God to work in my life, okay? But it's just like, it's not attacking you, right? You know how that goes? It's not attacking you. Mm-hmm. It's attacking that thing that is attacking you, right? Or your marriage. Mm-hmm. You got to look at it that way. It isn't attacking the person. Mm-hmm. We got to separate the who from the do.
That's good.
Right?
That's good.
So that's just how we have to receive it. You know, otherwise it's going to be lost. I don't want it to be lost. You know, because if it's something that will set you free and bring forth fruit, good fruit in your life, no, we want that, right? That's what we want. So, well, can we just stand up? I'm going to just pray and you know, whatever Pastor Josh has to add after that, that's fine. I told you so. No, I'm just teasing. So, Father God, I just ask, Lord, that you would touch each and every person at their place of need right now in Jesus' name. I ask you, Father God, that you would release your angels over each and every person here. I pray, Father God, the ones that need strength, that you would strengthen them, that you would send angels the way you sent Jesus angels to strengthen him. Send angels to strengthen each and every one of you, my brothers and sisters here tonight. I pray, Father God, for an increase of anointing to fall upon them now in Jesus' name. I pray, Father God, that there would be a confidence of the Lord released in each and every person, a higher level of confidence in the Lord. I pray, Father God, that people will take their rightful place in the body of Christ. I pray, Father God, that you would heal those that need to be healed. I pray, Father God, you comfort those that need to be comforted tonight. The ones' hearts, Lord, their hearts might be hurting. Whatever, Lord, you comfort their heart now in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father God, for an increase of favor, 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 in the name of Jesus to come upon our lives. The favor of God to come. And I pray, Father God, that we would be able to see it when it happens. I pray, Father God, when we walk into a place, I got the favor of God. I got the favor of God upon me. I got the favor, right? Favor, divine favor. That divine favor will open up doors that you need opened. There's doors that Satan has shut that you need open, and you need to declare the favor of God upon your life. And that favor of God is the key to that door, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I pray, Father God, wrap your arms around this body, and that you would watch over it, that you would protect it, that you would grow it, you would nurture it, that they would come into the perfect destiny that you have for them. Let them be living stones arrayed with gems, the gems of God, the gems of heaven. Let them be arrayed with that. Let your face shine upon them, O God, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for them. In Jesus' mighty name. And they all said, amen. 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 Bless you guys. Thanks for listening to me.
Praise God.